This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode of In the Black. This week, we are talking about your revenue and what to do with it. Obviously, there is money coming in, there's money going out, but you know, tinkering with this formula is something that you've become a master of, Raf, and I think we can probably share a lot of insights to help people and stuff we've talked about before. In fact, we had the author of Profit First, Mike Michalowicz, is that his name? Yeah, and he speaks a lot about this, and we follow a lot of his principles. We also follow a lot of the principles of MPE, who are our business coaches. But yeah, we wanted to start this thing, Raf. You had these two ideas, these two more philosophical ideas about money, and you know, it'd be safe to say that these did come from, you know, the learnings and the lessons that we have had from our coach.
Yeah, one big thing they get across to us when we first did the Getting Race Ready course with MPE is that money flows to whoever pays the best attention to it. And what I realized is, like, hey, we spent very little attention on the money that was coming in. We spent more of our attention on like training and different parts of the business, or like annoying members and stuff like
that. Yeah,
that's like generally where our attention was flowing. So then what was happening was the people that paid more attention to it, which was like generally our landlord, or different subscriptions we'd sign up to, they were paying very close attention to our bills and everything, and that's where most of our money was going.
Yeah.
So what they had us do was, hey, start just spending more time with these different tasks or things that would get us to do that. It really, if you were to summarize, it was just paying closer attention to the money. And what tends to happen, they would say, is when you spend more attention on it, more money flows towards you.
Yeah, because if you don't, you know, you'll be that guy trying to sell his gym on a Facebook group asking for a PT job afterwards. So stuff is extremely important, and it probably, I'd say it's safe to say, it probably makes the biggest difference in your business, what you do with your money. Because yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to do is obviously be so proud to start a business and then be shutting it down and working for someone else. So not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think it's probably not your plan when you start
to open a business. What I've seen probably is that, and how I feel about it, is like it's nothing wrong with if you close it after a certain period of time or you're done with it. But probably usually where the regret flows in is that if you feel like you've closed it, but you didn't really get to take any money out of it while you had it.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, like where did all the money go during that 5 years that we had it?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, if you'd made bank during the 5 years and you close, you're like, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. On to the next thing with all this money.
All this money sitting in your account, right? Like, great ride.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when you finish it and, you know, you're finishing with less than what you started, that's often where probably some of the regret comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, all good things do come to an end, but to avoid that feeling of regret, I think you want to make the most of it while you've got it.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, one of the other things you probably said, which I think is important, is just in general, where the wealth needs to go, that isn't absolutely set in stone. So just as kind of a broad idea, you know, you were saying when the money's coming in, it's not going to rent, it's not going to staff, which are really the two things that you have to pay every month.
Yeah.
Everything else kind
they're usually on like a contract and they're non-negotiable.
Right. Everything else is up to debate. Almost, you know, to the cleaning, for example, how you go about cleaning the gym, even the equipment that you buy and stuff like that, it's all kind of, you know, it does have an asterisk next to it. Like you might not have to spend it, you could spend it differently. What's your kind of philosophy on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think with those resources, it's kind of like time, right? You want to spend your time well. Same thing with your resources at the gym. And to me, I'm like, they're the two best things possible for the money that we have would be A, either creating wealth for the owners of the business, because they're the ones that started it and put all the capital to open it, or stuff that's going to grow your business, because growing it is going to mean more of this down the long run.
Yeah.
And probably where we've fallen into trouble is when money's maybe not going to one of those best two uses. Or if you look at it, you're like, hey, I spent it, but there's probably something better I could have done with that. So if something's like not really going to grow it, you're probably better off just putting it into your own account, you know, which can be scary at times. But at least then when you do get to that point where you're finished, you're like, hey, I made the most of it while I had it, and I didn't filter it, like get rid of it on useless stuff I didn't really need, or things that just weren't the best and highest use of that money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and probably one of the things I think gets probably underrepresented somewhat is like personal education for the owners. And I'm not talking about anything to develop your coaching ability, but this is more talking about how like different courses you can take as a business owner. Obviously, you can sign up for something like MPE and get lots of business coaching. But outside of that stuff, you know, some of the stuff I've spent money on this year is like some marketing courses, like some marketing workshops that I've paid some people that are extremely good at what they do. We just sit in a room and they just kind of lecture me on different marketing strategies that other companies use and content strategies, and even just paying for like little webinars or short courses from just like how to put content out and stuff like that is... That stuff is so valuable. Even just buying books, right? Even just buying like really good books and just learning about stuff there is just super valuable. And, you know, maybe there's mentors and stuff that you know of and you want more of their time, like even paying for their time, like that stuff is just super valuable because you take those lessons, you take those skills with you everywhere and you apply that in this business, you apply it in the next business, you apply it to your personal life. That stuff is super valuable.
Yeah, even now you say it, you know, if you close your gym after 6 years and you look back and you're like, you know, that gave me the time and the resources to be able to invest hugely in my self-education, that if I just like had a normal job, I wouldn't have had the time and resources to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You probably look back on that and say, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Because that like set up my earning potential way more in the future. Or yeah. allowed me to do things that I enjoyed way way more of my life in the future.
Yeah. You know, I've like, I've heard for a long time, I've listened to other business owners say, you know, they quite often get asked the question, you know, if today you woke up and everything was at zero, right? All your assets were wiped, your bank account was at zero. You know, what would you do? And all of them say with absolute confidence that, you know, I'd be back to, you know, close to where I was, if not better, you know, within a few years. Because I have the skills. It's not the money itself, but it's the skills that you learn acquiring the money, which is most value of growing the business. And that's really something that I think in the last really 2 to 3 years is something that I felt happened with me is that, hey, you know, if it did get wiped to zero, I would be able to figure out, I know what I need. You know what kind of team to build. You know where to spend your money. You know how to hire people. You know what to look for. You know how money works. You know how investments work. You know, these are just all skills that you learn over time. And I think that if you're in business for a long time and you don't feel that way, that is when you're kind of stuck and that's where you need to, you're doing something wrong. And I think what we're about to go into, what we're about to tell you, is splitting up revenue as a percentage is so good because every business makes revenue, right? Yeah. And I think these percentage costs for, like really for a brick and mortar business, but you know, a lot of businesses need offices as well, I think is super valuable because, yeah, if you just have no idea how much to pay yourself or if you have no idea how much money to spend on marketing or anything like that, like you just waste heaps of money or just not spend enough.
Yeah, and the numbers we'll go through, I think this is really for, it's for like a boutique gym.
Right.
I think, you know, when you go into like massive gyms or like tiny boot camps, like the numbers do change a lot.
Sure.
But this is, you know, these sort of boutique gyms are really, really consistent. And, you know, a really easy way to see where you're at is just go get your profit and loss. Or if you're in America, I think they call it an income statement.
Yeah.
Same thing. And it'll break it down, you know, where your money goes by each one. So where we're going to start is probably the biggest decision you're going to make. And, you know, we've made this decision quite a few times in our times with the gym. But that's your rent. And that's a huge one, you know, because that's like the number one. Once you sign up, you are in that commercial lease for the long term.
Yeah. And it's a serious legal document that I did not give any weight to when I was 21.
Yeah. And, you know, often you've got a personal guarantee on it. So no matter what, that thing is getting paid. And it's usually, often at the beginning, it's definitely like your biggest expense in a month. So where that should sort of shit is it's around 10 to 30% of how much money you make in a month is a good ballpark on how much you're likely paying for rent. If it's like up towards 30% or even higher, it's going to be really tough to have much profit in your gym because so much of it is just going straight to your rent every single month, which makes it challenging. So I would have a look, if you already have a gym, have a look at how much that percentage is for you. If it is up around the 30 mark, you know, hey, all the profit in this business is going to be once I start growing this business because so much of it right now is going to fixed overhead.
Yeah.
So you might be like, fuck, there's not much money left over, but there could be loads of money left over when you can 1.5 times your income because then your rent's going to go from 30% down to 20%.
Yeah,
and all that 10% is going to get freed up. And, you know, that could be the money that you pay yourself with. Or it might be if you're looking at moving, you might look at it and say, hey, if I move over all my members and my rent jumps from 20% to 40%, the gym's not really going to work anymore.
Yeah.
And that's something to weigh up as well. You know, when you're looking at a space, how much money does this space really need to make to match that sort of rent?
Yeah.
You know, and so really, if you're looking at a space, unless you can easily see how you can 5 times your rent in income in a month, is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, because that's money that just goes out every single month. If you can get it down towards the 10%, which I know a lot of gyms do, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it just frees up. 90% of your money then is for you to play with it in a month, which is incredible.
Yeah, for sure. And there's, obviously heaps of different strategies you can use to bring that rent down. And, you know, stuff we talked about all the time. Subleases is probably a huge one that makes a big difference for a lot of people. But yeah, just thinking of creative ways that you can not always have to pay that entire rent bill and kind of get that rent bill is a small percentage of the revenue is good.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it can even be negotiating with your landlord around raises and stuff like that. You know, we've definitely done that in the past. And then it's also being realistic. You know, if you want a gym in like the hottest, coolest area of your country, then you're going to be paying a higher percentage of your monthly bill probably in rent a month.
Yeah.
But you're like, hey, it's worth it because it brings in the best clients. Whereas if your gym is like, hey, the location doesn't matter, people travel to me, then you should get a gym that's super cheap on rent.
Right.
You know, so you can make it work because you're not getting much out of that location.
Yep.
Now, second point is how much you pay your, really your cost of sales. So that's like your trainers for in a boutique gym. It's the people that are like delivering it on the floor. And where we like to keep it for our current businesses is at like 30%, sometimes like 32%. And that's a pretty good gauge. You know, it gives you a really good idea about how much you can give away. Often to a trainer, if you told them that, they might think it's really, really low. They're like, oh, only 30% of all the money comes in. But what you realize when you go through this is how you need that 70% to go all the other places. But this can be super helpful when you're looking at like, hey, how many classes can I put on the schedule? If that's like the only thing you're offering, you can just do the math on how much a class costs compared to how much you bring in revenue a month. Do I need to cut classes or can I afford to add classes? Or if you're looking at paying your trainers in a slightly different way, that's like a benchmark you can start to hold. And what we found is when we go over that in the past, it's not good for us. It's too much. Whereas if you're under, like maybe you're underpaying staff or there's more you could pay there to get even better staff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I remember when my dad used to tell me he ran a business for a long time. He used to say, yeah, you want to keep your rent and your staff under 50%. And that he had a huge brick and mortar factory and stuff as well. So that was like, that was kind of always in my head as well. And he was always like, you know, staff will be your biggest cost. And that was funny when we first started. I'm like, man, I think he was wrong. Like staff doesn't cost anything. This is when all you had was a rent bill and you're doing everything yourself. But yeah, eventually staff does become a huge bill. And if you have kind of a guideline as to what to keep it under, you can make much better decisions. And dude, then your cat is going absolutely.
Yeah, we got a crazy, who's very engaged
what's
in
he looking,
finance discussion.
What's he looking for?
He's looking for the extra profits under the sheet. Third up, sorry, yeah. Now we're up to third up is owner's pay. Which is a really good
super
one to consider. So that is like the owners of the business. So it's either you or it's like you and your business partner, or maybe if you have a silent shareholder, it might be the dividends they get paid. That all would get wrapped up into that. And then depending on the size of your business, we like to say 10 to 20%. Usually when it's on the smaller end, it's a higher percentage. And if you're on the bigger end, it's a smaller percentage. Now, if you're delivering heaps of classes and you're like the main coach, part of your pay is owner's pay and part of it is you're getting paid as a trainer. So that's like important to mix up as well. Because if you're doing heaps of delivery, you should be paying yourself as a trainer and still having some owner's pay as well. But if you're like hands off, everyone else is delivering the services, then you're really in your owner's pay type of section. And that can be a good way as well to put on a percentage. Because then you know, hey, like where am I? It's motivating because you're like, hey, I can see when I go up in pay, like how my percentage goes along with that. If you're at 10%, when you 1.5 times your business, you 1.5 times your owner's pay, which is awesome. And it also just separates it out from the profit. Because if you only just pay yourself from what's left over, that can be tough as well because you might not have anything left over.
Yeah.
And then you didn't pay the most important person in your business.
Yeah. So with that being said, obviously a lot of people might have a bigger month than the next month and their months might not be consistent. And then they might see, oh, you know, this month they made 20 grand. So they pay themselves, you know, $2,000. And then the next month they made 10 grand and they pay themselves $1,000. But they adjusted their lifestyle to $2,000, right? Obviously it's low numbers here, but just work with me. How do you decide when it should go up and when it should go down? Like, do you take the average of the 3 months or do you take a month at a time or a week at a time? How does it work?
So how we've done it is we just track it every single month. So every month we track it and the little percentage number is right next to it.
Yep.
And then I think a good way to go about it is, hey, after a quarter, if after a quarter you think it's getting to the lower end, you can change it.
Yeah.
You know, you can track it along and you can adjust your like dollar amount of pay to hit the percentage correctly.
Yeah.
A quarter is usually a good amount of time. The good thing about gyms, they tend to have like pretty recurring revenue. So yeah, you definitely don't want to, it's probably going to be too much of a hassle if you're trying to get this perfect every single month, but you just track it every single month and you can get a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Because nothing more disheartening than putting your pay up, taking the missus out or taking your boyfriend out for a celebratory drink. And the next month,
putting it back down.
Yeah,
it happens. You know, we've had that. Everyone's had that. You know,
that's
what it's like running a business. So then, next one after that is marketing. Now, marketing, we have kept it usually at 2 to 5%. That's also been recommended to us by our coaches at MPE as well. This is a huge fluctuation. Like you've probably heard, like I don't know, Uber or some of these technology companies spend like 90% of their budget on marketing.
Yeah.
For a boutique fitness gym, that's not going to happen. You're just not going to spend 90% of your money.
90% of their money on marketing, and they've also never turned a profit.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably not ideal, right? You know, someone maybe like Whoop, who we have on the show, they probably spent an enormous amount of their money towards marketing, but just a really different sort of business.
Such a different model. Not a good idea to copy their model.
I don't know where you spend it, but that is a pretty good range, and we've usually done 2% in the past. The reason that number is like not huge for a boutique business is because usually, and if it's a good gym, your main referral source is, your main lead source is referrals.
Referrals, yeah.
And you know, you're not usually spending that much money on that. That's just more in the delivery of really, really good delivery.
Right.
I also think there is a little bit of bullshit that goes around, which is, you know, so much on your Facebook and Instagram feed is you're not seeing people saying like, hey, I'm going to show you how to get so many referrals in a month. They're showing you, hey, I'm going to show you how to spend really good money on Facebook and get heaps of leads in the month. So they're often encouraging you to spend a lot more than your budget on marketing.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only time where like their pay is sometimes attached, if they're an agency, to how much money you spend on marketing. They take 20%. So they're like, the more you spend, the more you have to pay them.
Yeah.
And you got to remember that their incentives aren't always lined up with your incentives at the gym.
Yeah.
They're going to encourage, spend loads of money on Facebook. It's going to work. It might work. It might not. But it's not always the best idea just to always listen to those people on how much money to spend in that area.
Yep. And and just quickly on those sorts of leads as well, like, I don't know if you guys have, say probably everyone listening to this has seen an ad. How many people have actually gone with an agency and paid money for ads? Look, it is a very, very tough game for a boutique gym to spend a lot of money on, because a lot of those leads that come in aren't very good.
Rubbish.
You know, I would say, you know, quite confidently, and you know, we talk about this on our MPE calls, is they're the worst leads. You know,
they're
the worst leads your business.
You know, I've seen it. We've got like 30 leads from that before, and not one was genuine.
Yeah, and like maybe you get one or two every now and then. Maybe you get more, but overall, you know, the investment is often, you're not getting a good return on your investment. You know?
Yeah, and what will Joey put into that marketing budget? That'll be like, hey, it's like getting new signage done. It's like the ad spend on an ad. It's like all those things that we'll generally put into the marketing and advertising investment. So 2-5% doesn't sound like a lot. Like, yeah, if you have a really small gym and you just crack 20,000, you don't have a huge budget.
Yeah.
For your marketing budget.
Yeah,
you know,
or maybe no budget.
Yeah. It's probably really, really small. Like maybe it's as big as an A4 printed sign on your door outside.
Yeah.
Or a few flyers that you hand out.
Or it's the cost of the barbecue stuff to put on a free event for your members to come try the gym with their friends and family.
Exactly. And remember as well, like we'll often do is we'll average this out over a quarter. So in 1 month, we'll spend way over budget because we're like running a new thing or a promotion. And then the next two, it's super lean. So you just want to look at that quarterly. Also, if you're spending way more than your marketing budget and you're not getting a return, that's a good opportunity to look at like, hey, is it effective?
Yeah.
Or like, could I spend it in a better way? So that's your budget. That's the smallest one. The next one we'll have is just really everything else. So it's like other operating expenses. Into this bucket, we'll include like we have an assistant, and that's like a non-revenue generating employee. So we'll put that into the bucket. You know, the myriad of different subscriptions, Waterfy fees, everything like that. Our consulting service at MPE will put all those fees into the operating expense bucket. That is one I think you definitely need to keep an eye on. That can be, you know, all the different ways that can slowly creep up over time. That really eats away from where you really wanted to put the money, which was into your own pocket, or more into marketing because you've been desperate to grow your business. So that is the area. It could be your water rates, could be electricity rates, all these different things. It's awesome if you can keep this one lower, because this is money that generally doesn't put any more money in your pocket. Doesn't really bring in any new people. Sometimes can make your gym better, but a lot of the time it doesn't always. So it's one you want to like watch really carefully and just try and keep it into that 20-30% bucket.
So I remember the day, I think it was probably like at the start of our MPE coaching when we did this metrics thing. How much, and you brought the list of our operating expenses and you're like, cool, we're gonna drill down on every point here. Do we need this? Do we need that? Can it be cheaper? How much money do you think we saved overall? Like if you
Well, I know pretty accurately. We were at like around 40%, I think, on our operating expenses.
Yeah.
We're doing like $100,000 a month. So, you know, we brought it down to like, it's under 30. So we probably saved like 10-12 grand a month.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
But, you know, that was my fault at the time as well. Because back to the first philosophy, if you pay a lot of attention to the stuff, that's usually where the operating expenses don't tend to creep up. And I think particularly if you could be like an individual business owner, it can be really easy to not pay attention because nobody holds you accountable to it.
Yep.
Particularly if you don't have that many staff, you know, and you just cut your own pay, no one even notices.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do that. And that's not why you got into it in the first place, right? To sign up to as many subscriptions as you could. So that's one you just want to keep an eye on that. And I find the easiest way is just to look at the percentages of where this is adding up. And then your very last one is your profit. The average profit for a like boutique sort of fitness gym, and I say the average is because they're like reported, it's probably on the higher side, but it's around 7% to 8% on these sort of gyms. The really good ones can be up 20 or 30, I've heard, but you know, you'd have to keep your rent and your other stuff way lower to achieve that. But that's usually the average. I think the good gyms probably get to 20 when they're usually maxed out. But what's important to understand is that generally for that, you've got to keep your rent way lower, so you've got to be on the upside of things. You've got to be like a bustling gym, and that's when you can usually see a really good amount of profit at the bottom. But tracking that as a percentage can be a really good way to do it, because maybe $1,000 profit is quite a lot if your gym only does $7,000 a month.
Yeah,
you know, but if it's doing 30, then it's not very much at all. So looking at it as a percentage is a great way to do it. And then you also know, hey, if your profit is getting way higher, maybe it would be a good idea to take some of that out, put it into the other areas like marketing or into your sales and your cost of sales, so your trainers, so that you can grow more of that profit in the future.
Yep. Yeah, the only thing I'll just, sorry, to come back, I didn't want to
disrupt your flow. But to come back to the operating expenses, two strategies I've heard over time that can work pretty well, and we used one of them ourselves. First one is, if you take every, say, dollar that you save, you commit to putting maybe 50 cents back in your pocket. Mm. So if you cancel a subscription that's worth $50 a month, pay yourself $25 extra a month. And so that way you're like, fuck, everything I cut down on here, it's money in my pocket. It aligns your incentives, yeah. Right? So it motivates you to take that money. And the second thing as well is, like, these things can get so out of control that it actually might take a lot of time fixing them all. So instead, what you should do is, if a lot of them are connected to a bank account or a card potentially, what you can go and do is you can go and cancel that card, or you can like move all the money to another account. And then what you'll notice is your inbox will be full of people saying, hey, your payment has bounced. And then from those emails, you can just decide what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep. So that's like a really easy just kind of hack to just get it done really quickly, because there's also probably like little things in there. Maybe you pay for them like quarterly or 6 monthly subscriptions that maybe don't show up on a monthly bill, that you're like, oh shit, fuck, I didn't even notice that one. Yeah, I don't want to pay like for those 18 domains that I've, you know, decided to keep paying for that are $12 a year or whatever, and you know, you've got $200 worth of them. So just stuff like that. Cancel that card, or whatever you use, cancel that account. That can be super helpful.
So action item I reckon you could take out of this, how we do it and how MP gets us to do it, is, hey, you just go through your profit and loss every month, or your income statement if you're in the States, and then just see where all the percentages line up. And then if one looks like it's creeping up, or it's on the high side, or it's vice versa on the low side, you can drill into it, see where all the money's going in there, see what adjustments you want to make. What do they call it? They call it like pruning.
Pruning.
It's like pruning the garden, right? Yeah, yeah. You can't just make a garden and leave a garden forever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's pruning every single month. Yeah. And I think it's going to be the same here. And that might mean taking up your pay, might mean cancelling a few things, it might mean renegotiating your rent. But either you've got to do this, or maybe someone in your business, or maybe your missus that does all your admin work, or your husband.
Or your mister.
Can go in and someone that really likes this stuff can do the job for you, but someone's got to be doing it.
Yeah, like you don't want to be Easy E when he finds out after he's left NWA and his girlfriend is pouring through his bank accounts that, like, you know, he's not entitled to the money.
Was that in the movie?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he gets completely rorted by Jerry.
He does get rorted by Jerry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jerry, like,
damn white people.
Yeah, dude, Jerry takes all like the money from NWA, like pays himself a stupid amount of money, and then because they're rappers.
Yeah.
They're gangsters. They don't care about like finances and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
they're used to dealing in cash.
Yeah, dude. He ends up with this girl and she's like an accountant or whatever. Yeah. And she pours through all the finances and everything, and she's like, he's been rorting you. And he's like, fuck. You know, like hard, rorting hard. That's when he goes to Jerry. He's got like a pistol and shit. Anyway, gets full gangster. But you don't want to be Eazy-E, because look how he fucking ended up. All
dead.
Right?
Ended up dead. Because he had no money to spend on his health.
All right, guys. If you are interested in MPE coaching, then head to themindmuscleproject.com/NPE. The link to that is in the description, and you can sign up. And of course, if you guys just love us in general, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, or take a screenshot of this, tag us, let us know you enjoyed the show. As we appreciate your time as always, and we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the Mind Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the Mind Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themindmuscleproject.com/The After Show. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.